Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Welcome to all those gathered in person and to those who join us online for this service of worship on this third Sunday of Advent 2022. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. So wherever you are, and whoever you are along the amazing journey we call life, we offer all of you an unconditional, heartfelt welcome. It is good to have you with us. Something changes today. You may have seen the sign on the door. I'll remind all of you that the most Christian and compassionate thing we can do for and as a Christian community is to keep everyone safe. And these last 2.5 years have been among the most challenging for any church, including ours. In all the science, the unfortunate politics, and moving targets during the pandemic, which has forever changed much in our society, we here at Mayflower have erred on the side of caution. But today marks a change. The leadership at Mayflower has decided to move away from a mandatory mask policy to an optional one. So if you want to take your mask off right now, we'll begin what we hope will be permanent, but we never know. I read this morning some troubling news about a new variant, Omicron, another strange numbers. Nonetheless, this, we believe, is not only the will of the church, but it does not mean we want to cast caution to the wind. So we hope, we pray, and we will work to keep our congregation safe from all illness. So as always, we need all of your help and cooperation. Obviously, it is more imperative that we all take the greatest precaution with our own health. And of course, if you feel sick on Sunday morning, even if you have to miss choir, you know that it will probably be the best by keeping others safer by staying home. If there is anything uncertain, wearing a mask will always be prudent, and we will do our best to maintain a supply if you need one. I would remind you that science and data reinforces the importance of vaccination and boosters. Just so you know, I have received 2 vaccinations and 3 booster shots, and I wouldn't be surprised if there were more booster shots coming down the pike as our scientists work and try to do what is a difficult task, and that is to try to stay ahead of the game. They've learned a lot, but of course, there's a lot more to learn. So, we will continue to keep a watch on the numbers and the science, and while the pandemic is changing, it is not over, and may not be for the foreseeable future. Now, as far as congregational singing goes, we still need to be careful, but beginning today, the congregation will once again have the opportunity to stand while singing the hymns and the doxology. This decision was made late in the game to put it in your bulletin, but the choir will stand. That'll be your hint to stand if those of you who can and are able to stand during both hymns, the benediction response, as well as our doxology. You may notice that today is the first time the choir is singing without masks, and so I hope you can hear them a little better. Let us continue to pray for an end to this awful scourge, and at the same time, do all we can to keep the vitality in every way within the life of the beloved community. The leadership of the Mayflower Church, including me, appreciate your spirit of cooperation, patience, and understanding as we continue to navigate into the future, which is always in God's hands. But God can use our help, correct? I would be remiss if I didn't mention a very important concert on Tuesday night. That would be December 13th at 7:30 p.m. The River Terrace Church on Hagedorn in East Lansing. The Lansing Arts Chorale, and there are 4 people in our congregation that are part of that, so it's another one of the lovely opportunities we have for Christmas concerts that will also support those within our congregation. Don't forget our upcoming Christmas activities, including a Christmas carol sing-along in the Friendship Center following next Sunday's worship service. And of course, our annual Christmas Eve service to be held on December 24th at 7 p.m. We will need some volunteers to bring appropriate food items for the reception, which will follow that service. We've been out of that practice for about 3 years. So those of you that can and offer some of those goodies that we have in a reception time following the Christmas Eve service, when we'll have many people here, some of whom are in our neighborhood, stopping by for the Christmas Eve service, we'll be doing that. And of course, there will be no service here on Christmas Day. We still need a bell ringer or two. There's an open slot, and I think a possibility for one more person to join another in our bell ringing for the Salvation Army, which occurs on the 21st of December. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Well, today's worship theme, as you may have already picked up on, is the paradox of patience, taken from an admonition to the beloved community. And we find this in the book of James. You'll be hearing more about that. Our special musicians are the members of the Mayflower Chancel Choir. Our liturgists are Roger Kennedy and Deanne McCormick. And it is now time to worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower family and friends.
Good morning, Roger.
Welcome to another worship service here at Mayflower that we hope will inspire and motivate us all. Even as we wait, we continue in the season of Advent, waiting and hoping for the exuberance of good news which lies just around the corner. During this time of reflection, we are confronted with a call for patience as we bear each other's faults and failings without judgment and bear one another's burdens with compassion. We are encouraged to and invited into the paradoxical place of penance and rejoicing, expectation and fulfillment, and ultimately death and resurrection. So may we follow the Spirit of God to energize our spirits with hope that transcends every despairing thought as we now offer our worship to God through scripture, music, prayer, and the spoken word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have gathered once again for worship in the season which helps us balance the extraordinary good news of the gospel with the realities represented in the daily grind of life. We are inundated constantly by bad news. We are aware of the frailties of our bodies, and we are painfully reminded of the brevity of life. But in this very gathering and in this very season, which calls us to wait with patient endurance, we ask that you would give us the hope that transcends our gloomiest thoughts, overcomes the gravest of circumstances, and replaces the darkness of our souls with a light which brightens the horizon. Upon that horizon, may we look with the eyes of faith to see our God revealed through the paradox and mystery of a child born in a cave who became our eternal hope. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today we relight the first two Advent candles, the candles of hope and the candle of peace. Now we light the candle for the third Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of joy. As the coming of Jesus, our Savior, draws near, our joy builds with our anticipation of his birth. From the book of Isaiah, we read the words of our Lord. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. Isaiah 65, verse 18. From the New Testament, the words of Paul to the people of the Church of Galata. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. Let us pray. We joyfully praise you, O Lord, for the fulfillment of your promise of a Savior and what that means in our lives. Thank you for the gift of salvation through the birth of your Son, Jesus. Create us as anew as we wait and help us to see your glory as you fill our lives with your living Spirit. Amen.
pretty neat to see everybody get in the Christmas spirit when you go to the stores and walk the streets. Seems like everybody's in that spirit of giving, and Christmas is a time for giving. But giving can be stressful. Certainly shopping can be stressful, and it can be difficult, but it can also be fun. It's kind of interesting to see little children transition from presents that they want until somewhere along the line they start thinking about who they are going to give to. But for us in Christ's beloved community, giving happens not only at Christmas, but all year long. And it can be difficult and stressful, but can also be fun and should be fun because we are reminded in Scripture that God loves cheerful giving. And the best translation for that word, for the word cheerful, is hilarious. Kind of funny to think about it that way, but God's blessings can be absolutely hilarious when we think about the effect of gifts humbly given to God. So let us now worship God with the giving of our time, our talents, our resources, and our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, who comes to us not only at Christmas but always, we thank you for the changing seasons we enjoy here in Michigan. And we have been reminded of it this week and even this morning with snow that has lightly graced the trees. And we thank you that the roads, for the most part, are dry. We thank you for the beauty of a bland landscape, especially when the snow falls. As we approach a very special time of the year for everyone, we ask that you would help us understand the need for patience as we carefully consider the spiritual significance of the season and patient and waiting observance of Advent. We pray for the continued safety of our congregation as we remove our masks. We pray also for the safety of all those who are in the path of the ferocious winter storm, which will move across the country this week. May we use prudence and wisdom and ask you for your protection. Help us to realize that while we wait for the coming of the Lord and in more visible ways, ways that we understand when we read the Christmas story, that your presence, your comfort, your love, and your peace are with us always. Even as we pray for those within our circles of love and care and influence. So, among many others, we pray for Linda Riley, for Anne McClellan, for Carlene Bramall, for Leslie Timmons, and many others, some of whom are listed on our prayer requests page, and others who we mention now by first name. Paula. And now, Lord, thank you for the privilege of gathering and praying together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Hear now these words. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. To those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Let us pray. Lord, right now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our rock. Amen. When I prepared this sermon on patience, I thought how effective it might be if I just stood here silent for 5 minutes and wonder what would happen. In that spirit, in terms of how you think you might respond to that, I will tell you that the very idea of patience is a paradox. Because we are not inclined as human beings to be patient. It is not in our DNA. Within minutes of birth, it becomes quite obvious that patience is not innate or inherited. Infants don't like to wait for anything, and they don't hold back on letting us know. When's the last time you flew on an airplane with an impatient infant? Doesn't make for a very nice flight. Quite frankly, and very sadly, some people never learn or acquire patience. And those are the kind of people we most tend to avoid, and for good reason. Impatient people are annoying. In this sermon today, I would like to explore some of the more complicated nuances of patience in our personal lives, our spiritual lives, including the spiritual life of our beloved community, as we wait for the coming of the Lord during this season of Advent. The book of James, the closest thing to a book of wisdom we find in the New Testament, was written as a letter to a community of faith, and they were called the beloved. One of the reasons a high value is not placed on patience in our culture that we live in, the reasons are many. For instance, if we live in the city or indeed come to the city and we have to wait long in traffic, we expect our government to build and expand the network of roads. When I worked for 15 or 16 years in Seattle, driving most of that time, it was very frustrating because just about the time they have new roads built, there's just that many more people that moved in, and traffic was enormously frustrating for me. It was quite a break when I moved to Flint and came to Lansing because traffic just doesn't look like Seattle around here, and for that I'm thankful. But we are teased and cajoled by advertisers into buying new computers or smartphones when faster access speeds become available. To avoid waiting long to prepare our food, we have instant oatmeal, instant coffee, instant mashed potatoes, and I like the ones from Bob Evans. Maybe some of you do too. And Deanna and I were fascinated with a program we watched a few weeks ago on the History Channel about food making in this country, and it was an amazing time when the TV dinner came out. The wives could go and, you know, mothers, whatever, at least in the culture of that day, more so than it is now, and leave their husbands and just say, get a TV dinner. And for what it's worth, do you remember the first company that popularized those on a mass scale? Swanson. It was Swanson. That's exactly right. We had a good time watching that, didn't we, Deanne? Fascinating. Well, when we eat out or are traveling, we have the choice for fast foods where you don't even need to get out of the car. I may have told you this before, but I have a son who has been in the food industry all of his adult life, and he was a foodie when he was very young, and we would travel quite a bit, going see Grandpa and Grandma or whoever. And one of the times when we were going to stop and at McDonald's, Kyle piped up and he said, "Dad, can we just stop and have some slow food?" It reminded me of how much our culture has changed over the years. Well, do you have a tankless water heater in your house, which produces instant water, instant hot water? Do you have a gas stove, which produces instant heat instead of electric stoves that take a while to warm? Do you have a remote starter on your car where you can start from inside the house? Do you get frustrated when you have to wait for a long line of cars at McDonald's restaurant when you thought it was supposed to be fast food? Or in the ticket line for a movie? Or the checkout line at Meijer or Walmart when you think those companies would have enough money to pay those people, more people to come in? One man standing in line to buy a ticket for a movie premiere turned around to the others in line and said, "Which moves faster, this line or a glacier?" We don't have to wait to get the newspaper anymore. We get it online instantly. Don't have to wait for 5 o'clock to get the TV news because news, weather, and sports are all on our smartphones. You know, they still structure those news things, so if you want sports, you got to wait for it. And they don't give you the complete weather forecast because they want you to watch everything. It takes more time. We are so used to instant everything, and it becomes difficult, admittedly, to revert. Most of us would not want to give up any or all that we have come to appreciate about our instant society. But we must all be honest concerning what we all appreciate about modern conveniences. Most of those things make our lives easier, and they save time. There's probably a negative aspect to that too, nonetheless. So we simply need to acknowledge and be aware that these things which improve our lives in many ways can also hinder us from the cultivation of patience, one of the evidences of God's grace in our lives and indeed within the beloved community. Another paradox of patience is right in our theology. James uses the context of waiting for the Lord to emphasize the need for patience. As we know, the church has been waiting for the coming of the Lord for 2,000 years. Here, the paradox of our faith and our gospel comes into full view, remembering that Jesus told his followers that the kingdom of God is at hand, has come, and is here now. Quite a contrast from the long wait we have experienced anticipating the coming of the Lord. That illustrates the paradox. Patience and waiting on the one hand, yet the assurance of our Lord that the kingdom of heaven is near. It's at hand, and it is now. As previously mentioned, this letter was written to a community of faith, not to an individual. And although there are just a few scant details about this exact community of faith, scholars tell us that it was likely a first century letter addressed to Jewish Christians who were poor and experiencing oppression. The writer suggests patience while waiting for the coming of the Lord, which early Christian converts fully expected to happen in their lifetimes. That hope and expectation gave them motivation to wait, even during very difficult times. So, let's talk about patience from several different angles during the season of waiting that we call Advent. There is a seasonal aspect to patience. First of all, there are the seasons of our lives. When we were children, waiting of any kind was tortuous. I couldn't wait until my next birthday. Sometimes I have to admit, I've never gotten out of that mode because I had such a good time this week when so many of you offered birthday wishes and all of that. So I'm still a little kid, right, Deanne? Okay. Nonetheless, when I was actually a little kid, boy, I couldn't wait till those birthdays and the next party. Couldn't wait for the recess bell at school. Couldn't wait to play with my friends after school. Couldn't wait for summer vacation. Couldn't wait for church to end. Looking at that clock. Couldn't wait to eat while my mother prepared it. And a few days seemed like an eternity. Where have those days gone? One of the most difficult things to do was to wait for Christmas, mainly because I couldn't wait to open Christmas presents. Even those one-present Christmases when I received a basketball, a Monopoly set, and a speedometer for my bicycle on three consecutive Christmas days of 1960, 1961, and 1962. It's amazing that the one-present Christmases are the ones I remember the most. These days, I feel just the opposite. I wish there was enough time and money to experience all the joys of the holidays, to have attended an in-person Messiah concert, but Barb, you reminded me that I have one more chance this week right down the street. Or see the Christmas Carol at Meadowbrook Theater I mentioned a few weeks ago, and no, I didn't spend the $100. Actually, $200, because I would have taken my wife. I did not attend Silver Bells in downtown Lansing, which is a glorious event for our community. Or the amazing light display at the Detroit Zoo. Ever been there? Anybody? Yeah, okay. I wish I had the time and resources to see all of my family members, including my 94-year-old cousin in Seattle, write Christmas cards to everyone, or buy presents for all the people who mean something to me. So I'm just giving you a little bit of heads up. You don't get a Christmas present from me, it doesn't mean that you don't mean something to me. I wish I had the time. I wish time would slow down long enough for me to spend a little time in each of your homes during the holiday season. Upon invitation, of course. In bell and chancel choir rehearsals for our music director, Barb, I know she wishes for much more time to prepare for our Christmas Eve service, but don't worry. It'll still be good, including the music we have been presenting for our worship services. Patience and waiting take on vastly different meanings the older we get as the season of our lives change. There is another type of seasonal patience. The writer speaks of the farmer who waits with patience for the anticipated rains and then harvests the crop at just the right time. And in that regard, I suppose a farmer has the advantage over all of us to understand and implement patience. But if you like to grow a garden, put in the time and effort, I suppose you too have a unique opportunity to understand and acquire patience. My wife likes to put the flower garden out in front of our house, and I always kind of wonder why she wants to take that time and do that. It's very important to her, I've understood, but I'll tell you when it comes home to me how important it is when somebody driving by and they see me out in the yard mowing or something, they put on their brakes and they stop and they say, oh, do I admire the flower garden in front of your house? Then I think of that in a different way. And if you live in the upper Midwest like we do, where seasonal change is evident with ever so stark reminders in nature, we have a unique perspective. I suppose that it's different. Have you ever heard the Christmas song about celebrating Christmas in Hawaii on Waikiki? That would be a little different experience, although I'm sure many of you have experienced a warm Christmas. Some of you may remember the Christmas of 1981, I think, in Michigan, when the temperature here was about 67 degrees. One of the reasons I look forward to the long Michigan winter is that it slows the aging process down. You ever think of that? Winter seems to last much longer than our glorious Michigan summers. And I will enjoy a longer than usual march of time to next year's birthday. And it's the big one, or a big one. It is this seasonal reality which bolsters the importance and significance of our observance of Advent. There are the seasons of meaning and purpose in the beloved community. It won't be very long until Ash Wednesday is here, and then we move into Lent, and then the beautiful time of Easter, and then Pentecost, and that seasonal change, the rhythm that we have as we celebrate and observe happens in the church, very importantly. Then there is something I would call circumstantial patience. The writer references patience that is acquired through suffering. It's not the way any one of us would want to acquire it, but it happens. In the first century, Christians were considered a subversive nuisance to the government. Our circumstances are significantly different today. But we all know people and groups that have had to endure terrible suffering, which produces, according to the scriptures, endurance. We try to put these people at the top of our prayer lists when we know people are going through suffering experiences. Endurance is certainly another way to say patience. And when we look at our own lives, our times when we experience suffering produces more patience, more endurance, and more compassion for others who suffer. I remember just a few years ago, I think it was 9 years ago, when I had a couple of terrible fractures to my leg. I've referenced this before, but I went in the hospital for 3 days and went under the surgical knife for 3.5 hours. And after I got out of the hospital, that experience, I had a new understanding and a new compassion for those that are laying in the hospital bed when just some visitor that walks in might be a bright ray of light and hope. In the end, while there are forces like our culture, the seasons, our own maturation, the aging process, and suffering experiences which all affect patient, it comes back to the paradox I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon. We are not predisposed toward exercising patience. Patience must be thought after, sought after, and then carefully planted and cultivated like a farmer or a person who plants a garden within our lives and faith community to become what the Apostle Paul describes as a fruit, the sweetest evidence of the godly virtue we all should pursue. Notice in the text that what appears to be the strongest appeal for patience is given to the entire community when the word is used, beloved. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. The virtue of patience is a fruit of the Spirit, which is grounded in wisdom, which should be called the other fruit of the Spirit, according to my brother-in-law, Dr. Paul Patton. The most prominent book of biblical wisdom, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, observes that a person's wisdom gives them patience, and it is to their glory to overlook an offense. It is interesting to note how these two qualities are connected: wisdom and compassion, which produces a reluctance to judge or to blame, which is in essence the best aspect of patience. Wisdom is grounded in the ultimate worth of all human beings, regardless of gender, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, or whoever a person chooses to love. And since this admonition is given to the beloved not to grumble against one another, wisdom would tell us that we are to encourage and implement accountability. This is the way we deal with the paradox of patience and all the paradoxes of life. We need each other. We need the beloved community. If you have been around Mayflower in recent months, you have heard about core values and bedrock beliefs. These values and beliefs are based upon great scriptural principles, but are not tied to any doctrine, nor are they specific to any denominational or religious tradition. This project has taken some time, and it will take quite a bit more time, as we are still in the process, and we will ultimately broaden this out to involve every member and friend of our church. But in the meantime, we have adopted a set of core values which the members of the Prudential Council have agreed to accept and abide by. And I would like to share some of those with you. They all involve patience in some way. We listen to one another without interrupting. We respect one another, including each other's opinions and each other's time. We trust one another, including each other's faith and each other's motives. We confess to one another, including our worst faults and mistakes. We say, "I'm sorry," and "thank you," often. We forgive one another, and we pray for one another. These values and others turn our paradoxes into understanding and truth as we wait for the coming of the Lord. And we will not have to wait long. Thanks be to God. Within the beloved community, as I prepared this sermon this week, I thought of one thing, and that is the person in this any congregation that bears the greatest responsibility for example. You guessed it, it's the pastor. So Lord, help me, even in my faults and mistakes, to be patient and kind and loving to the people who are that to me. Go in peace in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that choir look nice up there? And don't they look so much nicer without one who has a discolored robe? Well, just kind of kidding about that. Thanks for including me, Barb. And folks, as you have stood today and sang, you're a veritable choir also, but you're also a choir of love and care and patience and understanding. May it always be so within the beloved community. I love you all. Let's share in that love. In a little while, we go to the Friendship Center. Amen.